Hello, and welcome back to the Scootery Life podcast with your host, Sarah Blessington. So I'm here today to talk a little bit about some of the shenanigans that happened before I left the island and flew to San Francisco. So in that beginning stage, I started to do some research of what I would need to legally get across the country and discovered that I would need a motorcycle license to be able to get across the country. But the fun thing about Hawaii is that no one really has all of the information in one place. So I wasn't really sure everything I needed. And after spending 6 hours on hold one day with the DMV, I decided that I was just probably going to need to get in there and start to figure it out just by asking some questions, and that it would just work out. So with that effort in mind, I went in to take the motorcycle written test and passed. I did all my studying. I read the entire motorcycle booklet twice, front to back, and did again right before I went in because I did not have a lot of time in my hands. I had about 3 weeks before my flight off the island, and I needed to get things going. So I was super excited to have my permit, but after chatting with the lady, giving me my new motorcycle permit, got to take a new photo, and she gave me this little yellow piece of paper with a drawing of the motorcycle course, for the road course, and she let me know that the test would only be taken every other Tuesday, and that I had been signed up for this following Tuesday, and that I would just need to show up, and that I had to show up with something that was registered and had insurance. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I think this should all be fine. And then I started to put out little blips on the internet for, you know, just to see if anyone had a scooter that was registered 50 cc's or above that I could take the motorcycle test with. And so far, the folks that were like, yeah, you can use it, were actually motorcycles. And I didn't really, that wasn't what I was looking for. I wanted a scooter and I just couldn't find anything. So then I started contacting little rental shops, and that they needed me to have the license before being able to rent me the scooter. I'm like, well, it's kind of a chicken or egg scenario here. And so I called all of the rental places all over the island, and I started to get a little nervous. I couldn't find anything. And in trying to register my scooter, because it had passed so many hands and I wasn't able to register it, it was just one of those island scooters, if you will. And so I called back one of the first rental places I called, and I just decided to start talking. And I'm like, hi, my name is Sarah. I'm trying to do this thing. I am going to ride a scooter across the U.S. and I need a motorcycle license to do this. And no one will rent me a scooter, and I can't find anyone to let me borrow a scooter. And I just, maybe you can help me think this through. I don't know what to do. And there was a pause on the other side of the phone. And the next thing I knew, this man, this incredible man, Callan, or Alan with a K, as he told me later, jumped up to be my scooter savior. And he's like, you know what, baby girl, I will help you. I will take my own scooter. And I found out later it'd be about a 45-minute scooter ride down from where he lives, down to where I needed to take the test. And he's like, just tell me when and where, and I will be there for you. So he rearranged his life to help a stranger that he had about a 5-second phone conversation with. And as I'm talking with him, I'm like, can this be real? But he was it. He was my option. If I was gonna actually do this scooter trip, like, he was gonna be how I did it. so just beyond grateful. We exchanged numbers. I'm like, all right, like this is gonna happen. I can't even thank you enough. And so I got off the phone and we each sent little selfies of ourselves to each other to be able to recognize each other, like when the day happened. And then I just started to hope and to pray to the scooter gods of old that this, in fact, was going to work out. And I just was trying so hard to not let my fear take over as I started to realize that this was kind of serious, and that not having a license is, it's illegal. And I wanted to be safe in doing this. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I need to start practicing for this test. And I had spent so many hours on my scooter, and I just tried to remember back to my first time of riding it. Flip-flops in a sundress. One night later after work, I'd gone over to my friend's house who had had the scooter for me, and with just little construction glasses, I put that on and feet on either side, tiptoes, you know, and touching the ground. And I just started to slowly pull back the acceleration as the breath in, and just started to go. And just like riding a bike, I went and I stayed upright and I started going a little faster, and then I practiced slowing down, and then I got to work on my turns, and then it was just all the right way from there. And so I tried to imagine what that fear was before I started going forward, and just trying to imagine what it would be like to ride this wonderful stranger's new scooter. So the extra fun thing that I would need to imagine was that his scooter is 250 cc's, and because he is a tall man, he had a higher seat on his so that he would be more comfortable, which would prove to be a little bit more difficult for me and my tiny little hobbit legs. So I had told him that I would wear my tallest boots that I had, and it would just be fine. So with that in mind, I went to the test site, and looking down at the little blacktop, there was the marks already laid out there for me, so I was able to start to practice. And there were a couple turns where I was just so in my head. It was hard to remember that this was something that I was good at and that I had learned for a year how to ride, and had operated in very tight circumstances and had done a little riding on some gravel and over some other terrain. Like, I had this. But practicing on this course, I just kind of started to lose my ability somehow, and it was a pretty big fight for my mental belief in me that I could. And I just kept trying to nip that in the bud and just sort of replace it with a different mantra of, I can, I will, I can, I will, I can, I will. And a couple times around the course, and, you know, I was just realized, it's like, there is nothing I can do until the day of. And as the day started to get closer for the test, I started to have all these friends posting on the internet things about Mercury retrograde, and that things were just getting royally messed up in their lives. And I'm like, this is terrible timing. I don't really want to put a whole lot of sand in the stars, but at the same token, this just feels like too much of a warning flag for me to ignore this. And in years before, I had read a pretty nice explanation of Mercury retrograde, talking about that it's an excellent opportunity for you to slow down and really make sure that all your T's are crossed, all your I's are dotted, that you have spent the time to make sure that everything is going to work the way that it needs to, and not just to leave things to chance. So I had started to get just a little curiosity of like, okay, so this is a scooter, what could possibly go wrong? So I had sent him a message because the woman at the DMV seemed to really specify something about the insurance and the registration. So I asked him, I was like, do you have the insurance and the registration? And he said, yes. And I'm like, and they're with you. And he said, yes. I'm like, okay, great. That's fantastic. But still something made me nervous and I just couldn't put my finger on it, but I didn't think there was anything else I could do. So next day was the scooter test and so nervous. I don't even know if I slept at all that night, but my eyes certainly bored holes in the ceiling as I watched the shadows change across my skylight. And eventually I shook myself out of bed, put my tall boots on and went to the course. And there was someone, to my dismay, there already practicing. So I wouldn't have that opportunity to go. I mean, I'm sure I could get in, but I was so nervous. My whole body was shaking and my chest was just this ice field and I could barely see straight. And I'm trying to tell myself that that's not what's happening. And I'm trying to do everything that I can to just make that not be the case. And so I just kind of entered this little space of nothingness as I'm standing there next to my scooter and staring down at the little yellow piece of paper with the course drawn out on there, trying to just breathe in the possibility that I could and that I would and that it was all gonna just be fine and that Callan would show up, in fact, with that scooter and it wouldn't be that much different than what I already had and that it was all gonna work out. And as some other folks started to show up, the guy on the BMW GS who was there before me came over to park next to me. And looking down at my little Honda all held together with zip ties and duct tape, he smiled and asked if I would actually be able to take the test on that thing. I'm like, well, no, actually. But I talked to this guy and he's gonna bring his scooter down here for me to take the test on. And the guy looks at me questioningly and he's like, some stranger is going to come let you ride their scooter without knowing you? And I'm like, yep, that's what's happening. He's not here yet, but it's all gonna happen and it's just all gonna work out. And he smiles and he's like, you know, actually, I'm reading a book right now that talks about that same thing, that when you open up your story to someone, that you give them the opportunity to be a part of it. And that's when the magic really starts. And that really struck me. I didn't realize like how much, but it was just one of those like, wow, I have to remember that. And I think that he is right, that there is a lot of magic to that. And right as that moment happened, my phone buzzed and Callan was like, hey, I'm over here in the white shirt or the blue shirt and the white scooter. And I'm like, sorry, I didn't give you the best directions. I'm actually just over here. So he came right on over with the scooter, gave me a big old hug, and was just so excited for me. So now the BMW dude meets Callan and we're just starting to get excited and chatting. They're both like, this girl is crazy. Do you know what she's planning on doing? And they just kind of laughed with each other and they're like, all right, well, you should probably get on the scooter and give it a whirl. I'm like, okay. So I could barely rest one foot on the ground and kind of had to like hop up into the seat. Unfortunately, he was not able to put on the lower seat for me. So it was definitely a lot taller than I was used to. So that already just kind of made me a little nervous, but I'm like, okay, I get it, momentum, and then it's all just fine from there. Just make it go, try to practice what it's like to have movements when you're going slow. So I crept up with the accelerator and just tried to imagine me that first time and that energy of that everything worked out. And it did. I stayed upright, which good riddance, because now I had a crowd and people are starting to stare at me and they're like, what is happening? And I'm like, this is way too much pressure. I'm so freaked out, and now my life is a stage and I'm trying to learn how to do something, but also like show people that I'm confident because this is not mine, and I want him to be confident that I'm not about to just drop this thing and ruin it or who knows what. And so I do a couple little spins and I'm like, okay, well, I'm just gonna hope that if I end up having to put a foot down that I do it only enough times to where I don't fail the test, because I had looked at a couple different videos in California and some other states for folks that had videoed them taking the test, and they had said that like you could have two mistakes and still be able to pass the test. And I'm like, okay, depending on what those mistakes are, some are worse than others. Obviously, like putting both feet down is a no-no. But I just hope that it would just work out and that it maybe she would overlook, or I don't know. I just tried to not let my brain go down that rabbit hole of all the terrible things that could go wrong. Realizing that this was my only opportunity to take this test. And so before the test got started, the proctor was going around and checking everyone's information, their registration cards and their insurance. And she gets to my borrowed scooter and Callan hands over the insurance and the registration. And she's like, this can't be a copy. And both Callan and I are like, what? Can't be a copy. And apparently the insurance was a photocopy of the insurance and the registration card, and she needed to have the original copies. And he's like, I can pull up my insurance on the phone on the internet if you want to double check this. She's like, no, it actually has to be a physical copy. She can't take the test. And now I've got a couple more people that are on my side and everyone's like, what? No, you have to let her take the test. And I'm standing there and I'm shaking so bad. I think I might pass out. And the BMW guy goes up to her and is like, she needs to take the test today. What can she do to take the test today? She is leaving the island to go ride a scooter across the country, and it's going to be this incredible adventure, and you have to let her do this. And this proctor is just not interested in taking anything from anybody. She is not amused in this situation. And she looks over at me, ready for me to just come up to her and start sassing her as well. And I'm just like, I get it. I'm sorry, I understand. But if there is anything you can do, I would be beyond grateful for it. And she just kind of begrudgingly rolls her eyes and is like, okay, so there's another test that happens next week and I'll put you on the list for it. And then she looks over to the guy, to Callan, and is like, will you bring the physical copies of the insurance and the registration? And Callan's like, oh my gosh, yes, I will. I will come back. I will make it happen. We will do this test together. We will get you your motorcycle license. And everyone just cheers. And it was this incredible camaraderie that I was going to do this. And now I had an extra week, and now I'd had this opportunity to ride the scooter and realize that I could do it. And I got to watch everyone else take the test and see how they made the mistakes and how they succeeded, and getting to chat with everyone and just kind of like hear this feedback of me getting this practice of telling people that I'm gonna ride a scooter across the country. Because at first I didn't want to tell anyone, because it would be me putting out this statement, this I'm going to do this thing, yet I didn't have the license. I didn't have the scooter. I wasn't in the mainland yet. But I was trying to speak in a way of just giving myself that extra confidence that, yes, I was going to do this. Everything was going to be fine. I was going to get off the island with a motorcycle license and nothing was going to stand in my way, not even Mercury retrograde. And so a week went by and Callan showed up again. This time was a little bit later, which made me nervous, but he still came. Apparently there was a big accident that he had to wait through, but he showed up. I just can't even, my gratitude to that man is beyond overflowing. And we checked out the paperwork and he had the copies, not photocopies. We were ready to go. And the lady checks over the information again, and the insurance had expired the day before. And he and I are looking at each other of just in this insane disbelief of how, if she would have let me take it last time, it would have been fine. But now that we had the copies, and he's like, I am so sorry. I don't even know what to tell you. And I'm like, you know what? Like, you tried so hard to be able to do this wonderful, nice thing for me that just really goes to show that, you know what, that it's just gonna be fine. And it's gonna be fine. I have my motorcycle permit, and so far with all of the research I've done, it says that you can ride in daylight hours with one, just yourself, can't ride with a passenger and can't ride at nighttime. And I had 6 months of having my, that kind of, or just the, until it expired. And I figured, you know what? I'm gonna ride a scooter across the country with a motorcycle permit from Hawaii, and hopefully anyone that were to pull me over would think that this story was as funny and charming as it could possibly be, and hopefully not arrest me, and that if that situation came up, that I would just have to deal with it as it happened. So with that being said, I already started to have this incredible, like, live action feel of exactly what that BMW GS man was saying, that if you bring people into your story, that it gives the opportunity for it to be so much more. That as I would sit in my caged fear or just echo chamber of, oh no, this isn't gonna work, or just only coming up against what I thought was possible or what I thought I could do, but I just was able to explore so many more opportunities if I brought more people into my story, and their life experience and their own imagination would just, there was no limit. It was starting to make me feel like there was no limit to where and how well this scooter adventure could succeed, and that I would just need to keep remembering that that was true. So with that, I said thank you to everyone, and I was ready to get onto that plane as much as I was going to be. And I figured, you know, if I get to California, maybe I'll figure out how to take the license test there, but maybe it would just be fine with this permit, and I would just go from there. So that started to become less of a fear for me, and no matter how many hours on hold I could not get across to anyone on the Big Island or even in Oahu to be able to tell me if I was going to get arrested for this, so I decided that I would just take that as a, that everything was going to just be fine. So with everything, I said goodbye to the island, and I flew to San Francisco, and with so many bags, but I was ready. I had, I thought, most everything that I could need. And my friend in San Francisco was letting me ship things to her house as well, which was so awesome to be able to arrive there and see my motorcycle jacket, that had been rehomed from someone that I was on a mutual Facebook group with for adventuring. And it was bright pink and white and had all sorts of zipping in layers for warmth and for wind, and it fit. And putting on that jacket for the first time really started to make it feel real, that this was all going to work out. And showing up at her house to not only her warmth and kindness and generosity, but her partner, and just, I was still kind of on shaky ground, and her partner, so kind, offered for me to go to a meditation. And growing up in the hippie mecca of the South, I was no stranger to things like that. And I figured, you know, this might be a really good kind of just hitting the reset button on what I've gone through and just making way for the new. And so we went to this meditation, and we got there a little early, so we were able to take this beautiful hike up on the Golden Hills behind the center and come down. And apparently it was going to be the last meditation in this one building that they had been holding meditations and rituals and all sorts of fun things for years. So it was packed. There were some really incredible people that were there, and I just so happened to be there on a pretty special day. And their whole theme was death and rebirth. It couldn't have been more perfect. And in sitting in the front and having that meditation, I let myself fall into that experience and that, just that exercise of letting all that does not serve me die and making space for everything that was to come to be reborn within myself. Just add some extra wonderful mantras to the pile of wonderful mantras that I was starting to accumulate for when I would need them. And it just was more perfect than I ever could have planned. And with that, I was able to start looking for my next steps into looking for what kind of scooter it was going to be that would go with this bright pink jacket and would somehow house all of my belongings and get me across the U.S. And that was pretty exciting. So, y'all, my next story will be how my first scooter came into my life. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.